Hello everyone, welcome to China Money Podcast. I'm your host Nina Xiang. Our guest today is Cynthia Zhang, founder of FutureX Capital, a private equity fund focused on making mid to late stage investments in leading Chinese tech companies. She was previously head of the private equity investment platform of China Asset Management, one of the largest mutual fund managers in China. During her years at China Asset Management, she and her team led investments in Alibaba, Meituan Dianping, and Kingsoft Cloud. Her newly established fund, FutureX, has secured US$200 million initial investor commitment, and she is considering investing in companies like Xiaomi Inc. and Toutiao, which she believes still have huge growth potential in the future, despite their elevated valuations at the present. She spoke to me last week in Hong Kong. Here is our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to China Money Podcast. First, give us a brief introduction of your past work experience and why did you start your own new fund?
Thank you, Lina. I went overseas for under government scholarship when I was only 18. So I spent overseas for 12 years, and when I came back in when I was 30, I started my next stage of my career in the largest mutual fund, China Asset Management. I observed that there are a lot of big changes in the investment industries and also in the portfolio companies. We invested in Wuxi Pharmatech when the company was very low valuation and after the financial crisis. However, you know, being a public shareholder, you can only do as much as you can. You only buy and hold. So back in 2011, I proposed to expand the business into the private equity within China Asset Management. In those 5 years, we have grown the business from zero to 2.5 billion, close to 2.5 billion. And we have made very concentrated investment. To be exact, we probably made about 10 projects, 10 investments. We invested into 10 companies. So we have invested into Alibaba, we have invested into Meitu, Dianping, and Didi, and also Kingsoft Cloud. And all these companies has grown themselves to be the clear leading position in their industries. And out of the 10 companies, we exited 8 companies, and with quite outstanding exit performance. It's about over 50 and above IRR.
So tell us a little bit about your new fund, FutureX, and also the investment strategy. So from what you described before, it sounds like you come from a public equity mutual fund background, entering into private equity. Therefore, you do have a mindset about companies' listed equity and how they perform compared to previously being private company. I think those strategy perhaps will be best described as pre-IPO investments. But anyway, so tell us a little bit more about the new fund and the strategy you plan to take.
So from the beginning of 2013, when I found the private equity business in China Asset Management, I made very clear strategy is we want to do mid to late stage investment, which including PEP, which is public equity private investment style, including IPO, including pre-IPO, whereby we can use our strengths the best, which is new economy investment. mid to late stage investment.
If you make late stage investment into Chinese new economy companies, the valuations are already very high. How do you invest into companies that's already so highly valued?
You have asked a very good question. When we talk about investment, we typically have an entry price and an exit price. So how the exit price was determined? Typically for private equity, the exit price is the IPO price. So when you IPO after six months, when you exit, or when your lockup period expired, what kind of price can you get? So those price, how the methodology and the mechanism to determine your exit price is actually our strength. Because being a secondary investor for over 10 years, we have seen this secondary market, public market up and down. We have experienced so many cycles. Private companies are very highly valued. I think if they go public today, probably we are going to lose money on those high valuation. But it's not applied to all.
Okay, so let's talk about some specific cases. Total is a company that you potentially are considering to make an investment in. And Total is valued at roughly about $20 billion already. What's your outlook for the company's future and how the valuation are likely to change?
I got to know Total when we first researched on Total. It was back to 2015. But 2015, 2016, we didn't make any investment into Total because during that stage, it's quite early for us to determine. We think the valuation is quite high, but I think the valuation, it's not the valuation is high, it's just because the stage of the company, it's quite early for me. However, in 2017, I think we do have a very clear sense about Total because we typically have a lot of valuation method to value a company. In 2017, I think Total has undergoing a big transformation. It has demonstrated that it grew from a product company, a single APP, to be a multi-product, a platform company. We see Total APP has been quite successfully in maintaining and growing the user internationally. And the Douyin, Xigua Shiping, Huoshan, and Wukongmenda, and all these new products, or probably some are existing products but new launched, has been very successful in 2017. And both from data and from revenue and from the organization structure has significantly changed to represent a very typical platform company, which we are very familiar with because we have been investing to platform company like Didi, like Meituan, like Dianping, Alibaba before.
But is there like a single measure that you can tell us, monthly active users or the revenue? If we are talking about the revenue, how do you think the current revenue support their $20 billion valuation?
I think the valuation is quite reasonable or even cheap because the reason is if you look at the revenue, 2016, Total was only about $6 billion. And in 2017, it's close to $16
billion. RMB, you're talking.
RMB. And in 2018, if you just based on the existing data and the trend, probably you will exit $50 billion. So that can, if $50 billion is what kind of number is that? Probably Baidu is about $50 billion.
Most of that growth come from?
I think it's from not only from existing the advertisement, it's from the different. From the short video, because although short video currently is free, but if you consider the content value and the platform value, I think you have a lot of upside. So if you look at Baidu, Baidu is trading at $80 billion right now, right? And I think Toutiao has a very strong team. And when you interact with Toutiao team, you can feel it's a fast growing, and the people are very united, and the people are fighting. So most people are very energetic and passionate about the growth in Toutiao. So I think it's a very young and upbringing organization. And if you look at their potential revenue coming from, of course, advertisement by itself is a huge market potential. And the thing is, Toutiao can give advertiser very accurate information about users, about what type of user are watching, and what's their effect. So that's very powerful. That's very powerful information stream, whereby create a lot of values. And I think Toutiao will also have potential on real-time video, real-time Zhibo, those type of forms. Also games, a little bit social, because we saw Douyin has been very popular among youngsters, and lots of social value. So I think because Toutiao has 5-6 very successful products, not just like WeChat. Tencent is very highly relied on WeChat right now. So I think Toutiao has, in past 1 year and above, has demonstrated he has very strong platform to consistently, successfully deliver new products. And I think this call are coming from big data and AI.
We've seen that companies like Facebook in the US have faced significant pressure about how their user data was breached, even though they claim that they don't bear responsibility to that scandal. But Toutiao faces similar type of regulatory backlash or user backlash as users become increasingly aware of how their data are utilized or commercialized or sold by platform companies like Toutiao. What's your view on this risk to Toutiao?
I think that risk always exists. It is the biggest risk. I mean, content and regulation risk is the biggest risk for Toutiao, for sure. But it's also the biggest risk for all the data companies like Tencent, like Facebook, like Alibaba. So those level, the platform companies will have this kind of risk because they're just too powerful. I mean, this platform company all have over a few hundred million users. So for sure, the user's data is crucial for them on how they deal with that. Nevertheless, the high-tech industry always deal with risk. Every period, you saw a different risk of face out. But I strongly believe because these companies, right, like Toutiao's CEO, Toutiao's team, they have been solving risk, solving problems all the time in their past 6 years when they founded the company. So they have strong capability on solving the risks. Like government regulation as well. When we invest into Didi 1 year ago, before the Didi's regulation come out, we know it's a biggest risk, but we still invested in because we think the valuation is very attractive and the company is definitely a platform company.
So finally, for Toutiao, what is the entry point for you? What is a comfortable entry price for you in terms of valuation? Currently, it's valued about $20 billion. Is there a range that you will feel comfortable about investing into this company? And also, what's your outlook for the company's performance if they do go public in the next year or two?
Yeah, definitely. For each company, if we want to invest into the company, we have to say at least 2-3 times above in 1-2 years. Otherwise, we're not even invest into the company. I think Toutiao is definitely a very strong player in the tier one space in the high-tech industry. So tier one space for us is definitely has to have the potential to grow above 100 billion USD, yeah, in market cap. I think today Baidu has 80 billion, right? So I think if you look at 1-2 years, I think Toutiao has a potential to above 100 billion.
Now let's discuss another company, Xiaomi Inc., a Chinese smartphone maker and also Internet of Things manufacturer, including, you know, probably hundreds of product lines from rice cooker to floor cleaners and televisions. Xiaomi is currently on top of China's unicorn ranking, which we track at China Money Network, with a valuation of about 68 billion US dollars. And the company is planning for an IPO very soon. What's your view on the company?
I think Xiaomi is a very special company. You never find Xiaomi story globally in the whole world. It's kind of like a lower, you know, lower price range of Apple, but it has a hardware, you know, setup platform like Amazon, but it also has a little bit, you know, Google's ecosystem platform. So it's really, you can never find a similar company in US. It's quite special. It's just like, although you can see Alibaba is, you know, Amazon, China's Amazon, but it's very different. And Xiaomi is even more different because Xiaomi creates its own business model globally. And then right now, globally, Xiaomi has been quite successful. It has overtake Samsung in many countries in terms of electricity, electronics ranking. But come back to Xiaomi. So I think Xiaomi is quite unique in the sense because if we look at the trend, a lot of middle class in the whole world, they are just, they are no longer satisfied with, you know, low price range products. They want to have good products, affordable price, and, you know, a very good brand. So I think Xiaomi is the right platform and right brand for them. I think Xiaomi has grown from 6-7 years ago. It's a low price point or lower, you know, cheap smartphone to become a high quality but affordable good product, both not just cell phone. I see cell phone is only a small part of a Xiaomi ecosystem, but also to things you saw at home, you know, in the office. There are a lot of things they offered. So I think Xiaomi is quite unique in the sense. I do see Xiaomi has a huge potential to grow, not only in China, but also globally, because given over 5 billion people, right? Only 1 billion people, less than 1 billion people has consumed Apple products. Apple has 1 billion consumptions. So people purchase iPhone. But I think in terms of active users, it's much less than, you know, 1 billion. But I think Xiaomi's market potential is much larger than Apple. Not only its cell phone offering, but its TV, its you know, it's everything you wear, you use, all the electronics you use at home.
But do you think the current valuation of $68 billion is a good one?
I think if IPO, I think Xiaomi is definitely worth over $80 billion, probably over $100 billion. In 2 years' time, I think Xiaomi has the potential to climb much higher.
What is the basis of that growth in the company's worth? What is the drivers behind it?
I think Xiaomi's profit has a huge potential because right now his hardware doesn't really contribute a lot to its profit, but it offers the whole platform, offers internet services, which I think is still in fast-growing phase. If you look at all the internet companies, Alibaba, Tencent, so once they make profit, the potential is huge. Xiaomi can make money from games, from e-commerce, from data. I think it's not really using the data for this. It's not really charging the data service. I think data is also provide huge potential because for a single user, actually Xiaomi has more data than any other app, because given it has, you use its cell phone, you use his PC, you probably use his TV, so he knows everything in and out. I think last year he made about over $1 billion profit in USD. I think the profit is only comes from a few potential segment, which I see Xiaomi has huge potential on the revenue side.
So lastly, since you're investing in companies that are likely to go IPO very soon, we have seen that stock exchanges, both in Hong Kong and mainland China, are competing to have unicorn companies to list in their exchanges. Hong Kong's going to formally launch policies to attract biotech companies to the exchange later this year. And China has said that for unicorn companies, they don't have to wait in the IPO queue in order to list in mainland exchanges. So that's obviously a good news for Chinese tech companies, but for the company, when they choose a place to list, obviously in each different exchange, there are pros and cons, but how do you think they should go through this process of evaluating which exchange would work the best for them?
In the past 6 years, I have been advising the company to delist from US and go for Asia listing. I have also advised company listed in Asia to delist or to, sublist their company H-shares. So for me, all these three stock market, US, Asia, and Hong Kong, have their, as you mentioned, their pros and cons. So if I'm a company, definitely the best situation for me is I can be listed in all three stock exchange. I think especially if you are a unicorn, a super unicorn, you have enough resources and the time. I think because the stock exchange and the capital market, they have their cycles. I think right now the cycle is very good for Hong Kong in the next 2 years, because there are so much money who are hungry for high value TMT, high-tech players. And then right now, you only have a few to choose, like Tencent, a few players to choose. But we can see in private market, we have so many great companies. I think Hong Kong's advantage is definitely great for those companies who have international ambitions, like Didi, like Meituan, like Toutiao, Kingsoft, Xiaomi. If they want to grow internationally, Hong Kong is a great great place whereby you have support from all international investor support from all over the whole world, and you can also enjoy international. If you do any merger acquisition, big, you don't, all this. You have people to support. You have the money ready to support you. You have the whole legal and the financial infrastructure to support you. So I think it's if you are big companies who dream very big, Hong Kong is definitely a great place to be in, especially in next 2 years. I think the timing is quite important for capital market as well.
Okay, thank you so much, Cynthia, for your time.
Thank you, Lina.